We are live on the Dynasty Roundtable, and I have Matt Babich, Babich underscore Matt 10, Tyler Knable. Is it Knably?
Knably, yeah. They're interchangeable, though, in my mind, honestly. Interchangeable. Right.
Knably, Tyler Knably at PPR Tyler. I should definitely know your name by now. But this is a good crew here to break down my cornerstone rankings with the rookies included. We're going to shoot for 50. Top 50, because I felt why not aim big? That feels big. I actually have like 60 prepared and ready to go. So we'll see where we get to. But on this show, it always feels like we never get to where we want to. Like we never quite get to everything we need to get to. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes tonight. So excited to get this thing going. And how are we doing tonight?
Clearly, Tyler and I are super ecstatic. We were both chomping at the bit to answer that question. Here in sunny California, so first time doing this show on West Coast time, so it's weird doing this show at 5 p.m but excited to be here, excited to break down. I'll tell you what, if we get through 50, I'll be surprised, but but excited to once again tear apart your rankings.
Yeah, I was just trying to let you talk about the sick picture you tweeted out on your Twitter at Babich underscore Matt, just having a nice dinner. I mean, it was like a fruit plate. I don't know if it was dinner. It kind of looked like a fruit situation overlooking the water on a tall balcony, possibly 15 stories up. So I was just trying to let you talk about that.
So we're in Dana Point, California. So we're on the coast. We're actually on the second floor of this building, but it's on like a cliff, basically.
Okay.
And they have a wine and cheese hour every night from 4:30 to 5:30. So you best believe we got ourselves a plate and a glass.
Nice.
Got some people in the chat. We have Mr. Babich in the chat already. We have the Hairy Snowman, who says good stuff in your articles lately, Matt, and nice new clean look for Matt and Tyler. Very, very good. And he's he must have seen the hurdle with Maddie. With Maddie and Cody, because Cody asked me which rookie running back I wanted to see wind up with the Giants. And then I said, I don't know, we might get demonetized. I was like, why would you make me choose any of them? I don't want any of them to go to the Giants. Anyway, so let's Dynasty Cornerstone Rankings. Here we go, coming up for you right now. I share my screen here, and of course do the control plus plus, is if you don't remember, one of the most magical moments on the show, I think, was Ahang Rungta teaching me technology on the show with the control plus plus. So let's see. All right. I think this is going to be good. I think people see that. So I'm just going to go ahead and rip through these. All right. We're going to do like top, however many we can.
10 see. At a time with, if we're doing top 50.
Yeah. Let's do 10 at a time. That would be 11 if I can count. So here we go. The top 10 is probably not going to be a surprise to anybody. Real quick, with Kirk Cousins signing with, you know, Atlanta, I moved Justin Jefferson down to wide receiver 3, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb move up. And then Justin Herbert moved down one spot because of Keenan Allen moving on and Mike Williams moving on. So I'm not sure who he's going to throw to. Gerald Everett gone too. So what do you guys make of this top 10? Pretty chalky, or you have? I feel like we're not going to have too many disagreements in the top 10.
Yeah, I think it is somewhat chalky, but the top 10 is always kind of chalky. If your top 10 isn't a little chalky, then you probably have a really bad top 10. Yeah. I think last time we kind of broke down cornerstone rankings, I believe kind of where we differentiated on this is that CJ Stroud was a little bit higher for me, but you obviously can't scoff at Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow being 4 and 5 here. I think there's, once you get past Allen and Mahomes, there's really, you can pitch me almost any order of Hurts, Jackson, Burrow, Stroud, and I can get behind it. So I obviously prefer Stroud a little bit in Dynasty right now, but I like the setup where, you know, the top 5, top 6 QBs, top 7 QBs even are the first seven players ranked. And I agree with moving Jefferson down a little bit because of that QB instability. We don't know who's going to be playing a quarterback there. We don't know if Sam Darnold can sustain this offense. We don't know if whoever they draft, may it be JJ McCarthy, we don't know his potential to satisfy and uplift a wide receiver one such as Justin Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb versus Ja'Marr Chase is kind of what I want to break down, though. So I know we've kind of gone over this before, but I want to get a little peek under the behind the curtain of your process of Ja'Marr Chase over CeeDee Lamb and what drove that for you.
I think, you know, in the very near future, we might be in a world where the Bengals are without T. Higgins. I know that's not the reality right now, but I also just feel like when he's on the field, Ja'Marr Chase is that guy who can just explode for 40, 50 fantasy points. I believe he's also a little bit younger. He's 24. Maybe he's not too much younger than CeeDee Lamb. It's very close. If like I said, it's one of those situations where if we were both in a startup, and I've used this example multiple times, if you were like, we have to have CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson are there, I you know, it wouldn't bother me to take CeeDee Lamb or to have CeeDee Lamb over Ja'Marr Chase. But just for me personally, I think the upside is what I'm shooting for, even though I know CeeDee Lamb last year did a lot of things that would probably merit, you know, a wide receiver one ranking in Dynasty. And I get it. Maybe some people probably, and I assume you have him at wide receiver. I think you did have him at wide receiver one. Yeah, so I totally understand it. But just for me, with Joe Burrow, with the situation, yeah, CeeDee Lamb's just 1 year younger, or 1 year older rather, than Ja'Marr Chase. Finishes the wide receiver one in fantasy last year and in fantasy points per game. So yeah, I can see the skepticism, or I can see why you would see that's very close. And if you made me like, I don't know, if you were like, we have to take CeeDee Lamb, I would understand. But I guess I don't really have like a solid answer other than, I just like Ja'Marr Chase better. And I think he has more upside. That's basically the answer. The long winded way of saying that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing before I kick it to Tyler on his thoughts is that I get where you're coming from on the upside. That being said, 24 fantasy points per game from CeeDee Lamb last year was 4 points better than Ja'Marr Chase's best season. So I think if we talk asymmetrical upside, it's essentially neck and neck. Now, I know, like, despite it being a 4 point differential, like, we all know what Ja'Marr Chase can do. He's a game changing player. I do think stability plays a little bit into it. So the Cowboys are currently cap strapped going forward. And while we all know that there's ways to lock in your superstar players and turn these situations around, there's some instability as to Dak Prescott, still pretty young, but getting older. Are we going to see any regression there? What's CeeDee Lamb is currently unextended. So he's, I think this is going to be his fourth year. Is this going to be his player option contract year? I think so.
Yeah, but this is year four. They're going to pick that up for sure.
They're going to pick it up. They're going to pick it up. But regardless, as it stands, we don't necessarily know what the offense is going to look like in 2 years. Whereas with Ja'Marr Chase, we know for a fact he's going to be tethered to Joe Burrow, who's going to be hitting his prime quarterback years as Ja'Marr Chase is hitting his prime receiver years. So, again, it is kind of a neck and neck thing. But so, Tyler, what are your thoughts here?
I'm going to push back on both of you guys. I think Justin Jefferson is my wide receiver one for Dynasty. And here's why. Just because I think the Kirk Cousins thing is a real thing. I think it impacts more of the other pieces in that offense more than it impacts Justin Jefferson per se. Because I think you can kind of get anybody in there, whether like maybe it's May, which I know Babbage would not appreciate if Drake May was a Viking this year, because that would mean things have gone drastically wrong at number three for the Patriots. But that's neither here nor there. Let's say it's May or McCarthy. That feels like kind of the two players that if they do trade up, which it feels like they will, it feels like that it's going to be May or McCarthy for the Vikings going forward. In either case, I think you can kind of get anybody in there to just get targets to Justin Jefferson. I mean, if we look at the way KOC – he has used him since he came in the league. Like he gets all the targets. He gets all the catches. That doesn't change with the quarterback play. And if we look at to last year, it, when he came back from the injury, when Kirk was gone, he had the one game against Las Vegas, which was he got hurt in that game because Dobbs threw a hospital while he was out in like the first quarter. But if you look at the Cincinnati game and downward, he had 7 catches for 10 targets and 84 yards against Cincinnati. Six catches, 10 targets, 141 yards and a touchdown against the Lions. Then 10 targets, 59 yards, 5 catches against Green Bay. And he finished the year with Nick Mullins. This is all Nick Mullins games. 12 catches, 14 targets, 192 yards and a touchdown. Like, I just think it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is, and it's probably going to be better than whatever Nick Mullins was last year. So I think he's going to get his. What comes after that, as it pertains to Addison and Hockenson, then I think that's where we can kind of talk about the quarterback and the overall passing attempts that are going to be in the Vikings offense. But Justin Jefferson is going to get his no matter what. So I'm kind of in on just this Justin Jefferson. Like, we've seen him be a top three wide receiver before in fantasy. And I just looked up at half point PPR. Jamar Chase has never finished top three. So I'm going to take the guy who has done it, who is just a perennial, probably the best receiver in the league by all accounts. And we'll figure out the QB stuff later, but I think he's just a absolute target monster in this offense with KOC calling plays.
I think that's some good discussion. I think, you know, if I'm in a startup, like this is like this right here, this section for me, like you could convince me either one. And we've all have different wide receiver ones here. So I'd be interested to hear chat. Who's your wide receiver one in Dynasty? I don't know. If we had a Twitter poll, if we were like, that kind of special, like if we had like the setup for a Twitter poll, is this going to cut off? Yeah. Might have to do a control minus here. Hopefully that doesn't ruin things. See how tech savvy I am now. This is amazing.
Yeah. Now speaking in terms of shortcut commands.
The control.
We don't say zoom out anymore. We say we're going to do a little control minus to show off the knowledge.
Right. Yeah. The next step would be to have not a spreadsheet in here. So, so here's the next 10. We have Amon-Ra, Caleb Williams, Anthony. And again, these are cornerstone rankings, so the rookies are going to be in here. Anthony Richardson, Wilson, Kyler Murray, A.J. Brown, Dak, Marvin Harrison Jr. there, Trevor Lawrence, Breece Hall, all in. Well, I guess this is like the tail end of the first round, going through most of the second round, except for the later part. So what do you guys think about these next 10, like 11 through 20?
I love the confidence on Caleb, because what would that be? QB QB 8. Yeah, so QB 8 for Caleb over a guy like Kyler Murray and Dak. Like, obviously he does have some rushing upside. Like, some of his rushing highlights in college are pretty sick, but I don't think that's going to be necessarily his calling card at the next level. Like, it is kind of like a Kyler Murray or Anthony Richardson. I think he's really has to excel as a pocket pass. And if you're just kind of looking at it, like you said, you have to put the rookies in there, kind of just like overall value perspective, you know, like right now, if you have the 101 and like in Dynasty, like that's a very, very valuable pick. So kind of looking at that perspective, I see what you're talking about, but yeah, it's interesting. The quarterbacks, because like, I think I would put Kyler above Richardson just because we've seen Kyler do it. And then Richardson, we saw like what, 4 or 5 games and he was hurt in between, like in all those, like 2 or 3 different injuries in the span of like 6 to 7 weeks. So that scares me a tad, but he does have the body, which you would think he could kind of sustain those kind of hits and everything. But I would put Kyler over Richardson just because, like I said, we've seen it, that offense is getting better. So that's my initial thoughts to it. Matt, what are you thinking?
That was going to be one of my comments too, which is, so to start with Caleb Williams, this is arguably one of the best situations a rookie quarterback has ever stepped into. And because of that, where were Bryce Young and CJ Stroud ranked coming into things? Quarterback, you know, 17 through 19. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that Bryce Young was going to the Panthers, who were led by Adam Thielen in their receiving core. And the Texans were led by Nico Collins with their receiving core. So we thought that these were going to be bad teams that weren't going to produce on offense, and they were going to have to mold the situation around their quarterback. Carolina, we were right. Houston, we were very wrong. And now CJ Stroud's up with the elites. And so if you want to win in Dynasty, you have to be able to look ahead for that year. And so if Caleb Williams is going to have a CJ Stroud-esque season where he steps in, produces right away, and finishes as a top 10 quarterback in fantasy, you got to have them right about here. And so this is where I think the market's going to be, especially now with the Bears wielding the team that they have. So I love having Caleb Williams here. It is confident, but I think when you look at the dynasty landscape and how these values change, if you don't value Caleb Williams here right now, you're going to miss the boat and you're going to be talking about, you know, paying the Pied Piper for Caleb Williams down the road when you maybe could have gotten him for a little cheaper. Because if you can get him for Anthony Richardson and a little plus right now, I think you should be making that move every day of the week. So parlaying in that to what you said, Tyler, about Anthony Richardson not doing it before, if we look at his first four games, he was on pace to just break fantasy. I mean, he was going ballistic. That being said, we haven't seen that stretch over a 17-game sample. So the dichotomy between Anthony Richardson and Kyler Murray is very interesting because you have two efficient runners. We would expect Kyler Murray to be a little bit more active on the ground this year following, getting a year beyond his ACL recovery. And so if the rushing upside is similar between the two quarterbacks, we do know that Kyler Murray is a better passer, but we don't know the Cardinals offense is going to be as good as the Colts offense. Now the Cardinals are probably going to select Marvin Harrison Jr. And if they do, I think they're neck and neck dynasty assets. And that's where they are right now. I would bump Kyler ahead of Garrett Wilson. I think that's the ranking that stood out to me. I think the quarterbacks are kind of fine where they are. Richardson Murray is one of those where you can convince me either or. And Garrett Wilson versus AJ Brown and the rest of the field here is where I start to draw some questions. Garrett Wilson's very good, but Garrett Wilson has also showed that he can his floor is really low if there's no quarterback. And we have no evidence that Aaron Rodgers is still an elite quarterback. We have none. We have no evidence that Aaron Rodgers is going to propel this team to some sort of elite success. And I'm not trying to strap on my Aaron Rodgers hater hat, as is pretty common on this show. But speaking realistically, he's getting older. He's coming off of an Achilles injury. And at least with Kirk Cousins, we saw him light it up last year. We didn't see that with Aaron Rodgers. And he's out here talking about vice presidential candidacies. Like, we don't really know how into football he is right now over just the attention of being on the Pat McAfee show every Tuesday. So Garrett Wilson, I think, is ranked a little too high here just because of that longevity. Like, we just don't know what this offense is going to look like. And now with Mike Williams stepping in, some actual target competition, is that going to change things up in New York? So I don't think you can have Garrett Wilson above AJ Brown right now. And that's my two cents.
Well, I'll say this in defense of Garrett Wilson. I think if he just got competent quarterback play, this is where the quarterback is so important. Like, he should have been like the wide receiver five. If you look at expected fantasy points, like, the catchable target rate was just horrendous for Garrett Wilson. So I can't believe, like, I was not the biggest Garrett Wilson fan last year. But seeing how the season unfolded, and Aaron Rodgers didn't even need to be fantastic. Aaron Rodgers could have been just league average, and it would have just made all the difference in the world for Garrett Wilson. So I am team Garrett Wilson this year after looking at the data. In terms of like Kyler Murray versus Anthony Richardson, so right now Kyler Murray is throwing to Trey McBride and who? Like, is there somebody else there? I mean, I guess we're assuming Marvin Harrison is going to wind up in Arizona. I could see them trading back. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But also, Cody presented this idea, not to get off too off track, that the Arizona Cardinals are going to trade back, and then they're going to trade back up to five and then select Marvin Harrison Jr. anyway. So it might be a moot point. However, I digress. If Kyler Murray... I would consider moving him up if and only if he gets an elite receiver in this draft class. We know Anthony Richardson is going to be thrown to Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Jonathan Taylor. It's a pretty good setup. They're also in prime position potentially for Brock Bowers in the draft. Maybe. I think that would be a sweet pick and a sweet landing spot in Indianapolis. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to fall that far though. So, and also Anthony Richardson, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but he is, how big is he? He's 6'4". He's 6'4", 244 pounds. He has not turned 22 years old yet. And he runs He's like Cam Newton 2.0 is what he is. Runs like a 4.4 340. I know he had the AC joint and he had a concussion. Like, he was dealing with injuries, but I think it's a lazy take at this point to say, like, this guy, we already know that he's just going to be injury prone. Like, I've seen that out there on Twitter, and I think that's asinine. But it's a good debate. But I'll take the guy that I know has the weapons right now, or at least better weapons than Kyler Murray, in what I think is a better situation. Younger, built to sustain injuries, assuming that he can develop as a passer. That's going to be an issue because the completion percentage in college, but Florida was a nightmare. We've detailed that on this show. So that would be the explanation for Garrett Wilson and Anthony Richardson, I guess. I'm surprised you didn't notice that Breece Hall at 20 is my first running back.
I don't have a problem with it. That's why I didn't. I noticed it. I don't have a problem with it. Anyone who was watching this podcast last offseason knows how I feel about Breece Hall. If you weren't watching last offseason, I fucking love him. He's incredibly electric. He has that, like, that Jonathan Taylor prospect profile, just otherworldly size, speed, athleticism, can catch the ball. Explosive plays galore, and the Jets improved their offensive line and are probably going to continue to do so through the draft. So this is a team that's going to be, even regardless of whether or not Aaron Rodgers is good, this team is going to take a massive step forward on the offensive side. And that is the pro Garrett Wilson argument, as you mentioned. But Breece Hall is also going to be a beneficiary of that, because more sustained drives, more red zone opportunities, there's going to be a lot more scoring potential for Breece Hall. So I love where he's at. And what about Trevor Lawrence? Because Trevor Lawrence has not lived up to this hype either. He's what, QB 11 in your rankings? And I don't know if he's ever finished as a top 12 quarterback in a season yet.
Yeah, he is what he is. I probably, like, he's finished fantasy points per game the last two seasons, like, right, fantasy, like, QB 12, QB 13.
Yes, yep,
12, like, and 13. So it's right there. So, like, if you want to rank him QB 11, 12, 13, I think that's right about where he's going to go. I'm probably a little bit higher on him than most people, just because I think there is talent there. That, like, you talk about a bad situation. Like, he had to deal with Urban. You remember Urban Meyer coached in the NFL? Do we remember this? He was like,
yeah, just kicking players,
kicking his kicker in the butt and saying, "Don't F up," basically.
The greatest story that came out of from the Aaron Donald retirement was the story where he's in Jacksonville. It's one of his first games there, and they're playing the Rams. And Urban Meyer goes up to his assistant coach and he goes, "Who's that number 99 guy over there for the Rams? Like, you don't know who Aaron Donald is? Like, you're an offensive coach too. Maybe you should probably get a game plan for them." You know what I mean? Like, who's that 99 guy over there? He looks big. Like, oh yeah, he just won Defensive Player of the Year probably three times already.
Hall of Famer. No big deal. But yeah, any final thoughts before we get to some of the comments in the chat?
Rip them.
Yeah, I think we've spoken our piece about this section of the rankings.
Okay, so it looks like we have a lot of people on team Justin Jefferson as wide receiver one. So you got the Harry Snowman, physical mismatch, Anthony, Justin Jefferson, Joel, Justin Jefferson, Sam, Justin Jefferson. So it's unanimous, Justin Jefferson, wide receiver one. So the chat is killing it. Thank you to the Bears. I got to put the Bears comment up there. They're trying to get up the first 4,000-yard passer in franchise history. So let's hope it's Caleb Williams next year. That'd be amazing. We'll go through. Yeah, let's go through the next 10 and then we'll pause for an informative segment break. So we'll go. And so we're going to go through round two, and we're entering round three territory. So Bijan, Puka, Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Malik Nabers, Brock Purdy, Tua, and Jordan Love. What do we think, fellas?
I think Jordan Love's too low. It's my first reaction.
Where would you put Jordan Love?
I think I would put him above both of the quarterbacks that he's with. And then if I had to slot him in right around Jalen Waddle, Jahmyr Gibbs, after Laporta, maybe. So like not a huge jump, maybe after Laporta. This is super flex, so quarterbacks are a little souped up, but at the same time, playmakers like Olave, Waddle, Gibbs, Bijan Robinson do need to get their glory. There are certain tier breaks, and I think Trevor Lawrence is a really good tier break to jump down from. But Jordan Love, with a limited receiver cast, showed a lot of promise. And we got Jaden Reed, who's going to develop another year. Maybe Christian Watson has a healthy offseason and maybe takes a step forward. Maybe they draft another guy in the draft. I mean, they do have some low draft capital players. Like, I know Romeo Dubs is a solid player, a good role player. It's also a fifth round draft pick that's not very exciting. So they could very easily in this loaded receiver class decide to double dip and try and get a guy. Let's see, maybe a Jalen Polk or someone of that tier in the second, late second, early third round to bolster this receiving core. So I think Jordan Love's a little low, definitely low in terms of the QB rankings. I don't know if we can continue to bet on the efficiency of Brock Purdy being sustained year over year over year. That's generally a losing bet. And quite honestly, like, I'm just not very moved by Tua Tagovailoa at this point. Tyreek Hill's continuing to age. He's been pretty vocal saying that this year is potentially going to be his last year. And given some of the stories we've seen, there's a non-zero chance that Tyreek doesn't even make it into the season with some of the stuff that's going on outside of the field. Wouldn't be shocked if that, I think we can all agree, not very good person ended up having to not play because of some of the things he does off the field. But we go above it. I like where Malik Nabers is at. I think he should slot in right around Jalen Waddle as a rookie. That's the type of – he's going to be on the cusp of wide receiver two to kick things off. The other thing that stuck out to me is Puka Nacua being at wide receiver 22. So clearly you don't think that this is a one-hit wonder and that Puka Nacua is for real. So what kind of went through the process of putting him above Olave and Waddle? Was it – just the rookie season dominance? Is there any extraneous factors with quarterbacks that we're considering? Kind of what went into that decision?
It's funny that you say that, because I actually thought I was like ranked him a little bit lower than most people. According to, like, I feel like it's pretty conservative Puka Nacua ranking. I mean, he only caught 6 touchdowns last year. I feel like that number could have been higher, especially given his target share. I mean, he ranked number 11 amongst target in target share, number 7 amongst wide receivers in targets, only number 20 in red zone targets. Again, ADOT was not the greatest either, but it's Matthew Stafford. And as long as Matthew Stafford is there, I don't really care. Like, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, this offense is just really, really good. And Puka Nacua, like, you don't get that many targets in an offense because you're not good at football. I know the metrics are not great. If you go to the player profiler page right now, Puka Nacua is not somebody that's going to jump off the page at you athletically. So potentially there is some regression that we might be able to expect, but I don't think it's going to fall off a cliff. And this is like a 22, 23 year old wide receiver. He's going to be 23, who I just think is really good at football and finds ways to be open, much in the same way as Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, I mean, he was the wide receiver 4 last year for a reason. And I actually thought this was pretty conservative. I'm still worried about Derek Carr with Chris Olave. It's like this tier of wide receiver, part of me just wants to say F it and put Malik Nabers up there with Puka. Part of me just wants to do that. But I just can't, for some reason, I put him just above that kind of quarterback tier I've got there. And you're right. You could say like the one weak spot in these rankings is Jordan Love. I mean, he's 25. He's the quarterback 5 in fantasy points per game. I'm still like, is there a chance? And I swear to God, I'm not saying this because I'm a Bears fan. All right, Harry Snowman, I can already hear you typing in the chat. Get your Navy goggles off, you Homer. But I don't know, man. I was talking this through with Memphis, And he's like, no, Seth, we're not out of the woods yet with Jordan Love. You remember Daniel Jones, right? How high we were on Daniel Jones at this time last year. And so I don't know if it's a perfect comparison. I will say number 23 in accuracy rating, number 28 in true completion percentage, number 30 in pressured completion percentage. There are some signs, number 20 in clean, like the completion percentage accuracy is something that Jordan Love is going to have to clean up. Can he get better with that, especially with increased weaponry? Potentially, I think so. But, man, we saw kind of the same situation play out with an offensive coach that we really liked in Brian Daboll with Daniel Jones. And they, you know, the Giants made it to the playoffs. Everybody remembers they beat the Vikings in the playoffs. And then the next year is just a complete disaster. I'm not saying that's going to happen in Green Bay. I'm just very conservatively ranking Jordan Love here, which probably means I'm not going to get any Jordan Love. And honestly, I'm probably fine. The one adjustment I will give you is I think Jordan Love needs to be above Tua and above Purdy. I will concede that. That's an adjustment. Just hearing you talk about Jordan Love that I'll probably make as soon as we get off the air. But I don't know, man. I've just got the heebie-jeebies about Jordan Love.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Going to the Daniel Jones comparison, I obviously don't love it. The one thing is that Daniel Jones was number one in the NFL in true completion percentage in 2022. So it's not like the same peripherals where we're saying like, oh, this player had a really good season, but had some underlying metrics that weren't that good. For all intents and purposes, Daniel Jones actually had the peripheral metrics that looked like this was driven by him. And I think part of that comes down to the fact that he rushed for 700 yards and 7 touchdowns in 2022, Daniel Jones. So that rushing upside is something that propelled his top 10 finish, whereas Jordan Love finished top 5 with only his arm, not incredible efficiency, and mediocre weaponry. And so what that tells me is he has the talent, but he needs some help to truly have that. I feel like a completion percentage is somewhat talent dependent. If your receivers aren't getting open, if your receivers aren't making plays, Christian Watson, and we also need to take into account that it took him like 5 or 6 games before he really found his groove as a starter. So I would be interested to see, and with Player Profiler data analysis tools, you can do this. Also, shameless plug, Player Profiler has merged Data Analysis Plus and Data Analysis into officially the world's best data analysis tool for fantasy football purposes. So use that to check these numbers for yourself. But I'd be very interested to see what Jordan Love's completion percentage and other peripheral metrics looks like after week 6. Tyler, it's been a while. Your thoughts?
I totally agree with the Jordan Love thing. I would definitely have him over Tua and Purdy. Just because, like you said, the weapons should get better over the course of his career. He's going to get locked up there in Green Bay. I think he's going into the last year of his rookie deal, I believe. So he's going to get locked up there. He's connected to Matt LaFleur. I think something you look for with quarterbacks is definitely going to be I really like quarterbacks who are connected to the head coach, who's also the play caller, because you know the head coach isn't going anywhere unless they get fired. Or like OC can always move on. Like, you know what I mean? So I kind of just a little tidbit that I like in my quarterbacks for Dynasty. Second part, we touched on the Neighbors thing. I think I would have Neighbors above Puka. Because if you're just looking at how we're talking about both of these guys, like I was listening to Todd McShay today, and Todd McShay ranked Malik Neighbors above Marvin Harrison. I'm not saying Todd McShay is the end-all be-all for rookie rankings, but it's not like he's the only one that's saying this. There's a ton of people in the community who are super big on Neighbors. And I think a lot of people in the community even like kind of can see the fact that Neighbors does have like more of that, like the upside traits than Marvin Harrison would have, like just in terms of his speed and kind of his deep play, deep threat ability. I think he might scare, he has the potential to scare, I should say, a defense more than Marvin Harrison does, just on his raw athleticism and just traits alone. So I think I would have Neighbors of a Puka right behind Bijan. That feels like a good place for him. And there's a real possibility he goes to the Chargers too. If we think the draft plays out like one, two, three quarterback, Marvin at four, there's a 0% chance Neighbors is not connected to Justin Herbert for the foreseeable future, his entire rookie contract. And if that happens, I think there's a real, there's certainly a discussion to be had. If Marvin goes to the Cardinals and Neighbors goes to the Chargers, there is a certain, definitely a discussion of who you'd rather have. So I'm a big Neighbors guy. I think he deserves to be in, kind of treated as a Marvin Harrison equal and not just the Marvin Harrison number one guy.
I did make live adjustments to these rankings. So you're seeing how the sausage is made here. We talked this out. And that's another, I don't know if I'm going to make it now, but that is a move I really want to make. And you saying that if Malik Neighbors winds up with the Chargers, yeah, 1,000% he's going to be above Puka Nacua with that landing spot for me. But I kind of want to move him up there anyway, because of all the film that I've been watching. And like Malik Neighbors just looks like that dude, especially after the catch. And you're right. Like, and he's John Lobb's. We had John Lobb on here, and Malik Neighbors is his wide receiver one because of all the things you mentioned. He's actually, you know, he lines up everywhere in the field, and he, after the catch, I don't think there's anybody better in this class. Whereas Adunze and Neighbors, there's a lot of like great contested catch tape out there in one-on-one situations. There's maybe nobody better than those two guys in this class, maybe in the last couple classes. But with Neighbors, it's like that yards after the catch, man, it just pops off the screen. So I firmly believe that Neighbors, Harrison Jr., we're going to get three hits with these rookies, unless one of them winds up with the Giants. I don't know. Who knows? But
I think he got Olave and Waddle flipped now that I, you know, put a little bit more thought to it too.
Okay. Fair.
But well, to be completely honest, I can't tell you why much deeper than Derek Carr. So like that's another,
yeah,
it's another part of it. Well, like, yeah, we have shifted to like a 1 to 2 year window for dynasty rankings, right? Like we mm-hmm. used to talk 3 year windows, and especially for running backs, that's no longer true anymore. So where's Chris Olave going in the next 2 years? We know he's going to have Derek Carr next year. I don't know exactly what receiver he is there, but I don't think he's a top 23 asset with Derek Carr at the helm. And yeah, then we have no idea what comes after that. Jameis isn't in town anymore. So there's a big playmaking, big shot taking quarterback that's going to be taken away from him. And maybe I'm factoring situation too much into it rather than just trusting the talent. But having guys like Chris Olave up there kind of scare me, even Puka, where it's like, okay, what happens this year after the Rams have a little bit of regression and Matt Stafford retires? Okay, you bought Puka at player number 22 overall in Dynasty, like wide receiver 5. And now he's probably closer to wide receiver 15 because Marvin Harrison's above him. Well, I guess he already is now, but Neighbors is above him. I think you have the right. That being said, I'm not trying to poo-poo all over your rankings here, but I do think you have it right now with where Puk is at. I think my point here is that the price scares me, and it's going to be why, since I missed the boat, I'm just not going to have a lot of Puka.
One more quick tidbit on Puka. I just looked up because Cooper Kupp certainly has to be a factor in all this too. We talked about it on Mock Draft Live on Monday, how we think that Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua should kind of be going a little closer than they are right now. And I just looked up the contract for Cooper Kupp. I mean, he signed through 2026 is his contract. They can't get out of it this year. They would save $7 million next year if they cut him. He has a dead cap hit of 22. His cap hit would be 29. So they could get out of it, but I mean, you're not really saving a ton of money. And then 2026, they could save like $14 million. But it looks like he's good. Like Cooper Kupp's going to be a Ram this year and next year. You just mentioned that we play Dynasty in a 2 year window. So I think the Cooper Kupp factor, if he can stay healthy, that is a big if for him these past couple of years. But if he can stay healthy, it does scare me a tad knowing that Cooper Kupp was the wide receiver one and being drafted in the top three last year in drafts, like in redraft league. So it just scares me a tad of with Puka Nacua, just his overall situation.
Yeah, it's definitely goes against the basic tenets of Dynasty, basic tenets of, you know, purchasing things like buy low, sell high, right? Like it definitely goes against that. Like the one thing, like I don't, that is true. I don't think that Puka Nacua like, I don't know how much higher he can go in the rankings, you know, like this feels like his ceiling for sure. So that's the one concession I will give you. The other part is he could just be that damn good. Like he could just be this guy for the rest of his career. And then Cooper Kupp goes away and then we're off to the races. So again, I feel like I have him pretty conservative. Like according to some other folks, they're really high on Puka Nacua given the age, the situation, all that. So it's good discussion for sure. So we're going to do informative segment. It's informative segment time. We're going to do Dynasty Deluxe. But when we come back, don't go anywhere because we still have 20 more players that I have ranked. So we'll see you on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Player Profiler, the Dynasty Deluxe package. The rankings are the best in the industry. It includes strategy mode where you can say, hey, change the rankings to be win now. Oh, change the rankings to be productive struggle. There's also a draft planner to help strategize where you should take players because the draft planner also includes ADP. There's a trade finder where we look up on My Fantasy League and we see trades that are done, including a particular player. Then there's a trade analyzer where you can plug in draft picks, players, and we assign a lifetime value to draft picks out 5 years. The best thing about our trade analyzer, it can't be gamed with volume. And there's mock draft data to see right now what's the market for player X versus player Y, including in the fall when very few mock drafts are happening. And our Dynasty Guide, the Dynasty Dominator, would cost you $10 on Amazon, but you get it for free with Dynasty Deluxe, and you get our Rookie Guide for free, a $25 value. So you get all of that for $45. I mean, it's a great deal.
Dynasty Deluxe package. Let's say you're not a redraft player. Let's say you're not a DFS. You don't want the all-in package. You just want the Dynasty stuff. Luckily, that's an option at Player Profiler. Sign up for the Dynasty Deluxe package. You also get access to the rankings. Not these rankings. These are not Player Profiler's rankings. These are Seth Dewald's original, done all by himself rankings with no outside influence whatsoever. Aside from the influence that you've seen live on air tonight and all the other people I talked to about this stuff, like Cody and Maddie and whatever. So go sign up for that today. And there's a show on Sunday nights, right, Matt, that people need to tune into?
The Dynasty War Zone. So if you tuned into our show last week, we had Memphis Young and Jerry Sinclair on our podcast. These two guys are essentially the OGs of Dynasty content. They're over 800 episodes deep in the Dynasty War Zone. And Player Profiler has the privilege of hosting their show on Sunday nights now. And be sure, if you're watching this program and not watching the Dynasty War Zone, as much as we appreciate you, you're kind of doing it wrong. You got to have both, because as you can see from last week's episode, there's a lot of differences in the way that Seth, myself, Jerry, Memphis approach Dynasty. And I'll say this, Memphis has dubbed them the old married couple of Dynasty football, and their chemistry makes for such an entertaining show. So if you're new to Dynasty, if you're a Dynasty expert, savant, doesn't matter. The Dynasty Warzone is a show for you. So be sure to check that out Sunday nights on the Player Profiler YouTube.
Dynasty Warzone also has the best segment, no offense to this program, but the best segment ever, Good People, Bad Tweets. Mm-hmm. Fantastic segment on the Dynasty Warzone.
Yeah, I think when I was on there, the Good People, Bad Tweet was something like Caleb Williams is Malik Nabers or something. Or not Malik Nabers, Malik Willis, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say.
It's not like a Bill Polian situation where he said Lamar should play wide receiver. But anyway, yeah, Malik Willis, not Malik Nabers. Somebody, I think it was Fusuvu on Twitter, said that. He's like, Caleb Williams is this year's version of Malik. He's just Malik Willis.
That guy just tweets anything.
Well, hey now, Fusuvu's been around for a while. Let's not disparage.
He has been, and he has good information at the same time. It is a very true statement, and I think he would agree. He tweets anything.
Yeah. Maybe it's just one of those tweets like I sent out that trade last year, which is, ooh, haters flock to the flame of, disparity and rage. But who knows? All right, so we have our 30 through 40, right, or 31 through 40, the next 10 up here. We go Christian McCaffrey, Michael Pittman, Drake London, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Jonathan Taylor, Brandon Ayuk. God, I hope he doesn't go to Pittsburgh. I just don't like that for him. Travis Etienne, Devonta Smith, Jaden Daniels. What do we think, gentlemen?
Where are you getting your Pittsburgh Ayuk information from? CT ESPN?
He tweeted something today. Like he never tweets. I think I'd have to.
Ayuk tweeted something today?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
About Pittsburgh. It was something that popped up on my phone. So I'm gonna
Jacksonville was in play.
Oh, well, let me look. Let me look. You guys talk and I'll look it up.
Okay, hey, the first thing I noticed about this rankings is, and this is my first heavily disagree with you, Seth.
All right.
I think you may guess where this is going. I got Drake London over Pittman, and it's not even close for me. Drake London, he's the better prospect coming out. He has a better passing quarterback attached to him, just better overall offense. And some of the Pittman numbers with Anthony Richardson last year, not the best. His weekly finishes in half point PPR with the weeks that Richardson played were 7 the first week. But I will note, he got all that those points from a 75-yard like screen. So I'm not here to bash his speed or anything, but it was kind of a one thing that I just remember from that week. And then 40 weekly finish the second week, 46, then 73, then 37 with Anthony Richardson as the quarterback. Michael Pittman had a really good year last year, but it was with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback. So I don't know if I think London's the better player, and I think London has the better quarterback going forward, especially for fantasy football. Like we see what this Rams, because this is just an extension of the McVay offense. It's Zach Robinson as the OC, and we saw it with Cooper Kupp. We've seen it with Puka Nacua in the Rams. We see it with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell coming over. Now it's Zach Robinson's turn. Move Drake London all over the field. Get him his 13 targets a game, and this guy's going to the moon. So I am all full steam ahead on Drake London. I cannot be convinced otherwise. It'll be very hard to convince me otherwise.
Well, let me go ahead and try.
Let's hear it, baby.
Let me go ahead and try. So you mentioned the fact that, you know, he's getting a quarterback upgrade and that, you know, Pittman had a good year last year, but he was playing with Gardner Minshew. So what do you say to the fact that Pittman had 13.5 fantasy points per game the prior year playing under, oh, geez, what was that? Matt Ryan and I can't even remember all of the quarterbacks that he played with in that season outside of Matt Ryan. That's how bad they were. Had more fantasy points than Drake London's ever had in his career in a single season. And the year before, playing with Phillip Rivers, who has more kids than he could throw the ball in terms of yards down the field, and had 14 fantasy points per game, also more than Drake London's ever had in his career. Drake London has never finished inside of the top 70 in wide receivers in terms of route win rate. So in terms of playing with a guy like Kirk Cousins, yeah, I know that doesn't matter because Kirk can give him the ball. But what we're talking about here is the fact that Michael Pittman Jr. is such an elite route runner is going to offset the fact that Anthony Richardson is not as good of a passer as Kirk Cousins. And the fact that Michael Pittman Jr. is so far and away better than everyone else on his team pass catching wise is going to offset a little bit of the fact that Kirk is probably going to have at least 150 more pass attempts than Anthony Richardson at the end of the season. So I know that Drake London was the better prospect coming out of college, but there is no evidence that Drake London is the better receiver right now in the NFL. So if we want to talk target volume and quarterback play, I can listen to that argument, but I do think Michael Pittman's talent level is going to offset that a little bit. And Drake London's going to be playing alongside Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore in a backfield with Bijan Robinson, who can command a lot of targets. And Michael Pittman's going to be competing with Josh Downs and Jonathan Taylor. So there's going to be a surplus. There's going to be a target funnel to Michael Pittman. There may not be a target funnel to Drake London. So it is a close argument. And I think he's got the rankings nailed, in my opinion, going Pittman, London, Moore. I'm a Pittman stan till the day I die, and I think he's more talented than Drake London.
If we're playing the excuse game, bringing up Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers, let's talk Arthur Smith, not a quarterback, but let's talk a little Arthur Smith. Was there more of a hated person in the history of fantasy football in terms of a coach play caller, maybe outside of Matt Canada, than Arthur Smith? It's probably, he might be on the Mount Rushmore of worst fantasy football play callers in the history of the league. And I don't even think that's a crazy thing to say. I watched every game. It was terrible. And Michael Pittman wishes he had the ball skills that Drake London has. They're not even in the same category in terms of balls in the air, go get it. Drake London is just a better athlete, and he's better ball skills overall than Mike. I think he's a better pound for pound wide receiver than Michael Pittman. And you can talk about the stats from the first few years, but in my book, we don't count the first 2 years in terms of stats for I'm not talking about like counting stats, like fantasy points. We're talking about QBs. He's got Desmond Ridder as his goddamn quarterback and freaking Taylor Heineke and all these other guys. So
both of them are better than Matt Ryan last season.
Do we count
anything then? If we just don't count the first 2 years, you're going to discount the fact that Drake London had a 30% target share and a 38% red zone target share in his first season, had a 24% target share and a near 30% red zone target share last season. Those are big numbers. And I know you don't count the first 2 years of stats, Tyler, but Pittman has better contested catch numbers than Drake London too.
My eyes don't lie.
So I just want
to give the one thing I'll give you is that Drake London in both years has been a more efficient producer in terms of yards per route run. And so that's a good signal for Drake London, but I don't think he has any of these other talent factors over Pittman. It's the situation being with Kirk Cousins in a very pass heavy offense that's going to change the course of this. But I think talent-wise, I don't think there's any question.
All right. So much to take away. Chat, who's on your Mount Rushmore of terrible coaches for fantasy, first of all? We need to get that answers in the chat, all right? And then I'll put them up here if we have some good ones. Number two, Matt, Harry Snowman is right in the chat. In 2022, it wasn't Wentz, or it was Sam Ellinger and Nick Foles. Both of those two guys started five games. Ellinger played in four games. Nick Foles played in three. Matt Ryan started the other 12. So, and then there was another thing. But what I was going to say is I think it should work. Kirk Cousins should work. But he is coming off an Achilles, right? And I just think a lot of assumptions are being made. And I'm trying to be careful with this whole deal because Drake London, he's 22. He's got the draft capital we want. He's the eighth overall pick in the draft in 2022. Size, great. Speed, good enough at 4.54. Good route runner. Should be a really good receiver in the NFL. Should be Kirk Cousins' primary target. I love the sounds of all that. I love Zach Robinson coming over from the LA Rams, who, by the way, Zach Robinson is offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, coached with Kevin O'Connell, who was the head coach in Minnesota. Same, probably similar, if not the same scheme. So with all of those weapons. Now you throw Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore in the mix. Oh my God, this is fantasy. This is like heaven for Drake London because Darnell Mooney's not going to compete too much for targets. I still think Darnell Mooney's a dynasty buy. He's my number one dynasty buy right now, because I think Darnell Mooney still a good player. And that not too long ago, he had over 140 targets in a season, but I digress. This should be amazing for Drake London. We will find out by the end of this year if one of two things is going to happen, either Kirk Cousins washed up or Drake London's not as good as we thought. One of those two things is going to likely happen. So we'll have answers by the end of the year, but that was a fantastic debate. And let us know who your Mount Rushmore of terrible coaches for fantasy football. We have Urban Meyer nominated for Arthur Smith's good answers. Arthur Smith. Yep. Arthur Smith and Urban Meyer have to be on there, right?
Yeah, I do. As much as I love to make fun of Arthur Smith, which is a lot.
Yeah.
are we just going to ignore? I feel like I'm falling into a Tyler Canabley trap with his reaction to where I'm going with this. But are we just going to ignore the really efficient Tennessee seasons that he had before going over to Atlanta? Like, is that just – I know Tyler, again, it was his first couple years as an offensive coordinator, so I don't know if we count those stats. But he had a guy named A.J. Brown that happened to play really, really well under him. And a guy named Ryan Tannehill who somehow started looking really awful again when Arthur Smith left. So I how much of it was Arthur Smith? Again, well, that's something we'll find out now that he's in Pittsburgh. But I do, as much as I love to hate Arthur Smith, I think it was even Cody that kind of brought this to light, which was like, hey, I think we might even be like dogging Arthur Smith a little too much just because Desmond Ridder was just really bad.
I think I've spent the past, or there was a good 3 month stretch there where I think every night before my head hit the pillow, it was how is Arthur Smith doing this to this? How is he ruining this team? What's going wrong? Like I've thought more about Arthur Smith probably than I have like my girlfriend at times during the NFL season. Here's the thing too. I was a ride or die Arthur Smith guy, especially like everyone, like it got so bad for the Arthur Smith hate that it was like, like people hated this guy so much. It was like, oh, his dad got him that head coaching job because he's a FedEx, like whatever. Like he's a nepotism baby. That's what they were, nepotism baby Arthur is what they were calling him. Like, That's how bad it got in terms of Mount Rushmore. So not only is he the Mount Rushmore, they should have a statue of this guy outside of some wherever the fantasy football headquarters is, whatever. All I'm saying is Arthur Smith, the OC in Tennessee, really good. That's why I was all in. Like I thought it was going to be a good running game with some play action. It's different when Kyle Pitts is playing left tackle, Tyler Allgeier is RB1, and Drake London is just like, I watched some of like the route concepts, you know, like those route concept videos, really diving into some of the X's and O's. He's got like Kyle Pitts and Drake London running into each other. Like I feel like every game I watched, at least one time per game, like two receivers would be like running into each other. And then you got Desmond Ridder heading the whole thing. Like Arthur Smith looked at Desmond Ridder. Let's not forget, we can debate whether or not Lamar Jackson was on the market. Was he available? Was he not? The Deshaun thing the year before, they thought maybe we'll bring Deshaun in, but like Arthur Smith is the reason the Falcons didn't work out. If we go 7-10 again, if the Falcons go 7-10 again this year, anything less than 10 wins is a disappointment. I promise you it is going to be different this year. It is going to be different. And Drake London, this is my bold prediction. You can clip it and ship it, boys, clip it and ship it. Bijan Robinson will be a top 10. We'll do a top 10 running back in fantasy. Drake London will be top 12 and Kyle Pitts will be a top 5 tight end in fantasy. All those things are going to happen because Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson is the key to unlocking both of those things.
That is not a bold proclamation. That
I was Bijan really Robinson. Think so?
Something way I was going to say top. I should have said top
Bijan,
five.
Bijan, top no, five. For Bijan, top, you said top 12 running back for Bijan.
I should have said top 5. That's
yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I folded the clip. Do not clip it and ship it. Clip it and dump it. Clip it and dump it.
Yeah, Jay's on it.
Before we go to 42 through 50, and I'm only gonna make this quick comment because I have seen people say this for whatever reason. Lamar Jackson was on the block. I don't know what these people are preaching, but the literal definition of the non-exclusive franchise tag is that if someone wants him for two first, he is theirs. Like if the Falcons said, yes, we are going to pay Lamar Jackson, we're going to negotiate a contract, we're going to get it done, we're going to send you two first, the Ravens can't go, actually, I don't really want to do that. We just wanted to keep him on a cheaper deal. No, that's not how it works. It is automatic. The team sends two first, signs that player, and it is done. So Lamar Jackson was always on the block. The Ravens were just calling the league's bluff and they won.
That is actually really wild that, you know, the Falcons did not jump on that. Like if for two first round picks, now do you think now if the same deal were on the table after the year, well, the Ravens probably re-signed him because Lamar had a good year. Like, do you think if the same deal's on the table? Like Atlanta takes that in a heartbeat, don't they, this year?
Well, aren't the Ravens allowed to match if we give them that? The Ravens are allowed to match. So I think the the argument was like the Ravens were going to match no matter what. They were trying to get him on a cheaper deal. So I think the argument was like the Ravens were always going to match. He was never really available. But like I said, I don't know if that's true.
I really don't know if that's true.
That is a good point you bring up though, Matt. Like that is wild that we were, and then that the Ravens did come through with the contract, but the contract was the issue, right? Like he was going to get paid a ton of money. So
if you got a Burrow or Watson level like guaranteed money, I don't think the Ravens would have matched it. If they gave him 200 plus million guaranteed, like they were, because he settled for what, like 170 guaranteed.
I'd have to go look, but yeah, you're probably right.
I think it's easy for everyone now to say the Ravens were always going to match it, and it's easy for the Ravens to be like, yeah, we were always going to match it, but I really don't know if it's necessarily true.
So he got 185 guaranteed.
There you go. We have some nominees for worst fantasy coaches on Mount Rushmore. Belichick, Shanahan, John Harbaugh, Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia is a good one. I mean, he's not really a play caller, but he was awful. He was terrible in Detroit. Oh, my God.
Well, the fact that he got signed after being a defensive coach, he came back to New England to be an offensive coordinator. Like,
oh, that's right.
I think we can make this Mount Rushmore just with people who have been offensive coordinator for the Patriots in recent years, because Bill O'Brien last year. Oh my Lord. He was awful. Gase actually had some pretty good years as an offensive coordinator. He was a horrible head coach. But
Ridder for sure. Like, I think that's the point that Matt's made. Like, Ridder had to share the blame. That was a situation. We talk about like how the Bears are set up for Caleb Williams, right? I don't know how you can set up a quarterback to succeed much more than having a good offensive line that they've invested in, having Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Bijan Robinson. Like, that's a better situation than the Bears have right now, I think. Well, maybe that's a hot take. I don't know. But, well, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, that's pretty good too. So should we round it up? We're already over time, like I knew we would be. Thank you, guys. Thank you in the chat. Oh, yeah, Chip Kelly. I forgot about Chip Kelly. That was actually should have been good for fantasy because he ran at such a high pace. You know, but it was just a dumb NFL way to do things. All right, so I'm going to unveil. We'll go through 50 here. And we'll see if that maybe there's some snubs here. So we have Rashi Rice, Tank Dell, Tyreek Hill, Brock Bowers, George Pickens, Devon Achane, Kenneth Walker, Kyron Williams, DK Metcalf, and Rashad White rounding out the top 50. What do we think, fellas?
Well, like we said on Mock Draft Live on Monday, if Achane's real first name is Devin and not Devon, I mean, I think he's at least 7 to 10 spots lower than where he is right now.
Devon Achane. Sorry.
In all seriousness, though, like I love the respect for George Pickens. He's one of the most underrated dynasty assets right now. He's truly a dominant player who is now without Deontay Johnson, who is one of the league's best route runners. And so that's a healthy amount of targets that are missing. And now he's going to have a quarterback that can actually put him in situations to make big plays without George having to do it all himself in terms of the yak. So I love the upside of George Pickens. I think you're a little high on Brock Bowers still. I don't know if I'm that sold on him being this generational talent quite yet. Maybe it's just Memphis getting to me on the hamstring size. But and then we have a really solid tier of running backs. Kenneth Walker is very underrated. Kyron Williams, that's the one I kind of want to talk about real quick, because I don't know what I feel with Kyron Williams right now. Like, he wasn't anything, and now he's something. It seemed very efficiency and volume driven. I don't know. What do we think about Kyron Williams real quick?
I think the first thing you got to think, like, it just comes down, the big thing of Kyron is like, oh, he's a fifth-round running back, right? Fifth-round running back, like, those guys don't last in the league. But if you look around, like, yes, there's some huge misses and like those day three running backs, like the ones that tease you a little bit, you know, like we got Damian Pierce from this season, right? Had a great rookie year. Everyone loved Damian Pierce. Well, the actual Devin beat him out this year when he got his chance in Houston. You got the James Robinson scenario too, right? Like RB3 season, I think, as a rookie, and then he was never to be heard from again. But then you look at the other side, like a guy like Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones was like a day three running back, wasn't he, from from Utah? Mm-hmm. Yep. So like you got some Aaron Jones in there. I'm trying to think of somebody else I'm blanking on. There's one more guy. I can't think of it. I think of it.
Austin Eckler's undrafted.
Austin Eckler, yeah, that's another guy too. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly some running backs who have beat the day three allegations, you know, who could really do some things in the NFL. And you feel better about the fact that he's on the Rams. Like Daryl Henderson stuck around for a little bit. Again, he went higher draft capital, but I feel like Kyren Williams has done more than Daryl Henderson ever did with the Rams. And they didn't sign anyone in free agency, which is a huge plus for Kyren Williams. The only way Kyren Williams like would be really devastated, at least going into this season, is if they take a guy in like day two. That's like the only way where like if they go like maybe Trey Benson or a Corum or someone like those top, like Jonathan Brooks, one of those top three to four guys that we really like, then that's the only way his value gets any lower. If that doesn't happen, I think you might have to move him up a couple spots as much as you maybe would be scared to. I think I think he has some real value if he goes into the season as the undisputed starter.
I've had a thought about Kyren Williams, and it feels like the whole army of guys who have opinions on Twitter, which I'm a part of that army, by the way, are all rallying against Kyren Williams with all of their strength. Everyone and their mom and their brother and their grandma and their grandpa, and I could name all the different family members that you could possibly have, they're all rallied against Kyren Williams. And that makes me want to be pro Kyren Williams. I'm just going to say, like, just me as a person and what I like to be a contrarian, because Kyren Williams, you look at like some of the metrics from last season. And of course my computer is going to take this opportunity to freeze right now as I'm trying to pull up what I had pulled up, but they were good. Like they were good last year. And I think that NFL combine is just in people's minds. Like he was small. It was like Audric Estime. I don't know what it is about these Notre Dame running backs, but they're, you know, he had a bad combine. And I think that sticks in people's mind. Also, Aaron Stewart brought this up on our Dynasty Stashes episode, which is why he thinks you should stash Zach Evans and Ronnie Rivers. The Rams have not had a back-to-back season leading rusher. Now, if it's going to happen in any season, it's going to happen this season with Kyren Williams. I think it's going to happen this season with Kyren Williams. I'll just say that right now, because I don't really foresee a situation, as my computer springs back to life. Thank you, computer. I know I have a million tabs open, but so I don't foresee a scenario where I don't know if there's anybody in this draft they like. Again, I know, I get it. Kyren Williams, day three. True, but here we go. Like true yards per carry, number 8 amongst running backs, number 13 in yards per touch, number 10 in juke rate. He didn't get a ton of targets out of the backfield. He's only 24 in targets, but again, he did get a ton of opportunities, but he was efficient with those opportunities. So I don't like it, leaves me in a very awkward place where I want to be pro Kyren Williams, but I don't know if I have the courage to fight the entire anti Kyren Williams mob that's out there, like at the gate storming with their pitchforks and their torches. You know, like it could just be as simple as the Puka Nacua argument. Maybe he's just good. Maybe he's just good at football. We don't like, this is the conversation we're having. That's possible. He could repeat. And then we like, everybody looks like, you know, dummies. But if everybody looks like, if we're all in the same boat, it's like, well, did it even really happen? I don't know. But hey, this is kind of where we're at with Kyren Williams. And I don't really know if I said anything, to be honest. I don't know if there's an actual piece of advice that we can take away from any of that other than, I don't know. I don't know about Kyren Williams. So I don't know where we go from here.
play both sides so you always win.
Yeah, there you go. Fantasy Dog in the chat. I love getting messages like this. Hey, dude, y'all rock. Found you during the combine. Just got here. We'll be back. Thank you so much, Fantasy Dog. Glad that you're here. Joel, yep. If you get the volume in a offense like the Los Angeles Rams, you are probably going to be a pretty good fantasy asset. And by all accounts, I think Kyren Williams is going to get, you know, maybe not number one amongst running backs in snap share, but man, like it feels like he's pretty cemented unless something like, unless they make a day two pick, like if he survives day two in the draft, it feels like I'd feel pretty good about Kyren Williams. Let's just say that. All right. That is top 50. Any final thoughts and promote what you got to promote, Matt? What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Not a ton, honestly. We got done with the free agency series. I owe Theo a write up for Xavier Worthy, so you'll be able to see my work on Worthy in the upcoming rookie guide for Player Profiler. One of the best pieces of content, off season content in particular, that Player Profiler produces. So very honored to be a part of that. Very excited. So keep an eye out for that. I'm sure we'll start to have some announcements for that in the near future as that gets put together. And then won't be there this week, but normally on Saturdays I'm hosting Player Profiler Today. So again, not this Saturday, but starting again next Saturday at 6 p.m. on Player Profiler News YouTube. You can catch me on Player Profiler Today.
And I got a Blake Corum write up in that same rookie guide as well. I feel really good about that Corum write up. Had some fun with it too in the first paragraph. So stay tuned for that. Also on my channel at PPR Tyler on YouTube and Twitter, we draft underdog teams every single night. We've done, I think today was 18 or 19 streams in a row. So come hang out with us on there. 600 subscribers. If we get 600, we are doing a 24-hour live stream in September. So if we get 600 subs before September, we're doing a 24-hour live stream. So come hang out there. It's a blast. The motto for our show is come for the drafts and stay for the laughs. I came up with that myself. So please come and hang out. As corny as that was, please come hang out. It is a blast over there. We have a lot of fun. We read every comment over there because yeah. I'm a man of the people. What can I say?
Yeah, that's a – and Tyler is a very sharp best ball player. So you got to – if you're into best ball, that's – you got to go over there for sure. And then he hops over here on the Dynasty Roundtable. Come for the Dynasty – there's just nothing that rhymes with dynasty, I don't think. We'll have to workshop it. Let's end the show with a trade. We have a trade, Timothy King. I think this is pretty obvious, but I want to see what you guys think. 14-team Superflex PPR Dynasty, 4 points passing, was offered the 103, David Montgomery, and Michael Mayers for Trevor Lawrence and Ayuk. Thoughts? What do we think?
Oh, I think we're taking the Ayuk and T-Law side, are we not?
It's got to be that. That's yeah. What I would choose.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. As tempting as the 103 is, this is and David Montgomery. I'm going against my guy. And Mike, there's a lot of upside with Michael Mayer, for sure. But you're getting a solid locked in. We said it, like Trevor Lawrence, he's gonna be a top 12 ish. Dynasty quarterback, fantasy quarterback, and Ayuk is a legit, where'd I have him, like in the 30s dynasty asset. Jaden Daniel, like all three of those assets that you're getting in return are ranked lower than the two that are, you know, that are above them in Trevor Lawrence and Ayuk. So that's the direction I would go. Matt, any thoughts on that?
No, yeah, I'm in line with you guys. It's T-Law and Ayuk.
And as Harry Snowman says, like the video, subscribe to the channel. We are growing. We're going to have you covered for the NFL draft, rookie prospects, mock drafts on Mock Draft Live. We have trade gods going right now because we've gone over time. And you can follow me on Twitter at Seth_Dewald. You can follow Tyler at PPR Tyler and Matt at Babich_Matt10. And as always, nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers. Wiseman for Heisman. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great night. We'll catch you next week.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. Many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.